My Savior, first of all. That was written by Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby, if you knew the story about her, she wasn't born blind, but I think there was a little procedure that the doctor was doing with her eyes, and actually, it was the wrong thing, and it blinded her. And so she was blind really from birth because of an accident. But down the road, and I don't know when Fanny Crosby got saved, but she turned her life over to the Lord after she got saved, sometime after. And the Lord used her to write so many, many hymns. But what a great hymn. My Savior, first of all, I shall know him. Just think, she was looking forward to, well, I don't see anything in this life, but the first thing I see is going to be his face. Yes. So what a great story behind that hymn. All right, well, I want you to turn to John chapter 9, because I'm going to go ahead and just look at a passage of Scripture for just a little bit. We've got some testimonies tonight, and I'm excited because, we just had the fair booth, and it was just last Sunday that we finished up, and I wanted to thank Brother Jason Jones for filling in on Sunday night. I know he did a great job. We went down there because we were there to close up things, Brother Jordan and I, and of course, Brother Gary, and we had to kind of pack it all up, and Jeannie, of course, was there with us as well, and so those 10 days were great. As I mentioned earlier, and I mentioned before, that those 10 days, I was a little, a little skittish, like, okay, are we going to fill all these up, these time blocks, and they filled up quite well, and I want to thank you, and again, I heard just some great feedback. I was talking with Brother Dave Horner, and Dave was talking about just what a blessing that was for him. But I heard it from others that it was just a blessing to be able to give out some tracts and have some interaction with people and to be able to get in some great discussions and open up the gospel, invite people to church. A number of people were saved that we all talked to, and so that's always some good fellowship. But it was just a great, great blessing to be able to have that opportunity. Last year, we were ready to pull the trigger on it, and it just didn't get quite the response, so we didn't jump into it last year, but we did this year, and I'm so glad that we did. We saw, I believe it was 27, I'm looking at Brother Gary, I think that's the number that we finished up with. 27 people got saved, so praise the Lord for that, and a lot of people got spoken to, talked to, just a lot of great conversations and all of that. And then I know there were well over 3,000 tracts that went out. I'm going to say 3,500-ish. That was hard to kind of keep track of. But, we got the tracts out. So the Word of God, the seed, got out. And a lot of people are maybe still picking them up and looking at them. Maybe they've been sitting on a dresser at home in their bedroom and they've picked them up. So just keep praying that God will work. But also a lot of seed got in the hearts of people. And sometimes that seed will sit a little dormant because people are off and busy and doing things, but they heard that witness. And then something happens in their life, a unique moment when the Spirit of God just prompts them and brings back the conversation and about where they're at in relationship to the Lord. And many an individual came to know Christ because of the Spirit's prompting. And so just keep praying that that the Word of God that went out, but the Bible says his word will not return void. God has a purpose for his word going out. So what a blessing. All right, John, let me turn to John myself. I asked you to turn there, and I'm going to get there myself. John chapter 9, of course, that's the story of the blind man. And, that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to read a verse, and then I'll just read this verse, and then we'll look at John chapter 9. But Psalm 107 in verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And we are the redeemed of the Lord, right? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So David prompts God's children to take that opportunity, and you've been redeemed, then speak when you have an opportunity. And we're exhorted to do that. May we do that when we have those opportunities. So this story in John chapter 9 just lays out, I just love this story about the man that was born blind. And he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't get saved at the beginning of this chapter. He gets saved at the end, which I love. The Lord doesn't always do things exactly the same with his encounters with people. this unique situation is this man gets healed to begin with of his blindness. And verses 1 through 7 speaks about how this man, he tells him in verse 7, he said unto the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, understand this, he goes, he washes, he does what the Lord says, and he comes back seeing, but he never really encounters the Lord, you know, face to face. He heard his voice, and he went off, and he did what the Lord told him to do. He gains his sight. Verses 8 through 14, and again, I'm just going through this quickly because I want to give time for our testimonies in regard to the fair booth tonight. But this man, he can see. And everybody in the town, you know, that's how it is. People are like, that's the guy that couldn't see all of his life. And the people begin to talk. There's a lot of chatter going on. Is he the guy that sat there and begged? And you know, and he says, yes, that is, he is he. And he said, I know not. And then that's all the way through verse 14. And then the Pharisees pick up on this, and they inquire about this. They ask the man himself in verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, well, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. And then in verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. He did this on the Sabbath day, and the Lord did many healings on the Sabbath day just to push their buttons. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And then they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So now they go to the parents, verses 19 through 23. They ask the parents, is this your son? Was he blind? How did this all happen? And they said, well, he's of age, ask him. Because they were afraid that, you know, if they sided with their son, they could get kicked out of the synagogue. And that's what that passage talks about. So then verse 24, and we'll just read through this and just make a comment or two. It says here in verse 24, then again call they the man that was blind after they talked to his parents. So they called the blind man again. He's no longer blind. And they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And they're talking about Jesus. And he answered and said, well, whether he be, this is the blind man who now can see, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. I really don't know him. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. Now, we can say that when after we got saved. You know, I was blind, but now I see. Wasn't it, you know, Amazing Grace, John Newton? Is that who wrote? Yeah, he wrote that in that hymn, that great hymn. And then it says in verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them. You know, this guy's just getting exasperated and frustrated with these guys, you know, these knuckleheads, because he's like, I already told you. And he answered them again, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? I think he's like, I'm going to push their buttons now because they're bugging me. I'm getting irritated with this crowd. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, boy, they call him the Lord Jesus, this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Okay, you know, this doesn't just happen every day. People don't just go around and give sight to the blind. Is this even, reverberating with you? Is this thing hitting you? And are you thinking this thing through? I mean, that's what he's saying. And now we know that God heareth. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. You were born in sins. You know, I mean, that was how they looked at it. They put this condemnation on him, just like Job's friends did to Job. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And then verse 38, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found the Lord, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord? And it is he that talketh with thee. And the man says, Yeah, your voice did sound familiar. That's what I'm thinking, he's thinking. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And the man got saved right there. He put his faith on Christ. And then the Lord says this, and Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Boy, there's so much spiritual truth in there. And he said, And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, and I think they said it this way, If ye also, is that what you're saying, we're blind? And the Lord says, Jesus said unto them, and that you don't know so much, like you think you know. If he said, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. And he says, and that what he means by that is your sins would be forgiven, because if you would admit your blindness, you'd see that I am the Savior of the world, that I am the Son of Man, that you would put your faith in me and your sin would be forgiven. That's how you would have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. And it's an issue of pride. It's an issue of, well, you know, we know everything. And so the Lord says, you're just going to remain blind. And so the ironic thing is the man that was born blind could see better than the men that could see, because they were in blindness. You know, they were in darkness. And the man, of course, that was born blind came to the light. And, of course, he could end up seeing physically. We saw that. But he could also see spiritually. And so then you look at this story and you see the opportunity that this man had to speak up for Christ. Even before he got saved, and before he gets to verse 37 and 38, he spoke up for the Lord. And, you know, we're encouraged and we're exhorted and commanded to speak for the Lord and to speak about what he's done in our hearts and in our lives. And what a great opportunity that we have to do that. What a privilege, amen, to be able to give our testimony, to be able to give the gospel, sometimes to be able to combine the two, but it's a blessing. And so that's what the fair booth availed us of. It gave us the opportunity to have some great encounters with people, and it's great. There was a lot of people at the fair, and they just kept coming by, didn't they? And a lot of them, you know, didn't care about the things of God, but there was a number of them that stopped and did, and it gave us great opportunities. And so I asked some men tonight if they would give some testimony about just what they saw, what they heard, and, a testimony about maybe what God did in their own hearts and lives. And so I'm going to ask Brother Tony Frucciano. I asked him if he would come. I asked Teresa as well, but Teresa is dealing with an ear infection, right? Double ear infection. So be praying for her. Brother Tony, you come. You tell us what God did. Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Good evening. Well, at the fair was quite the challenge, I thought. You know, if you had any kind of inhibition to talk to somebody, it quickly went away. it's a little bit different than door-to-door. Because when you're doing a door-to-door visitation, you got it's a much slower pace. But when you're at the fair, you got all these people coming by, and you want to at least hand a tract to them, you know, find out where they are in their spiritual life, you know, you want to talk about Jesus, see where they're at. And when you're doing door-to-door, they don't have to open that door. You know, a lot of people have that ring. They can see you on camera, and they can say, "I'm not doing that." You know, so I liked it. It was quite the experience for me. I would do it again. Looking forward to next August, as when we get to that. But as you're talking to people, you find out quickly you got to be a little creative. You know, to bring them in, to stop them from walking away. You know, you got to say. You know, a lot of times I went, "Oh, I like your hat, you know, and can I give you a track?" And when you give them a track, you know, you can just find out where they're at spiritually. You know, do you go to church? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And you can talk to them that way. So there's a lot of things you can do. So you try to find a way to slow them down so you can talk to them. Sometimes they'll stop and they'll talk. I had a talk with one of the security guards there as he was making his rounds. And I brought him into the booth and I talked to him. He was saved, but I talked to him a good 20 minutes at least. And he had a lot of problems, but you just try to encourage people to come to church. You know, he wasn't coming to church, and that's your main job, is to get people in church, you know. The number one answer I heard as people walked by was, I'm good. You know, you went, hey, can I give you a track, a gospel track? I'm good. You know, they, well, nothing to do with you, but it's so, I don't even know what to say about that. I tell them, well, you'll be better with Jesus. You'll be more gooder, you know. And the other answer I used to get was, I watch online. I used to go to church, but now I watch online. And watching online is fine if you're sick. You know, watching online is like watching that fireplace out in the foyer. You see the fireplace, and there's no warmth to it. It's just a fake flame. But when you come into the body, you got, I see all my brothers and sisters here. I can feel the love, and you just cannot get that any other place. And so and the other thing is, you can watch online if you're sick. Or if your wife is giving birth, you can probably watch in between contractions. It'd be fine. Not recommended. So that's what I got. I like talking to the people. There was a lot of good conversations, you know, and it was just really, really good. And I learn by watching my other workers. You know, I learn by watching Pat. Watching Carrie was great. You know, her thing is when she sees somebody with a kid, boy, she is right in there and right up to the adults. Start with the kid and goes right up to the adults. So that's good. So you learn a lot, and I enjoy that. So a good, but you know, you have fun doing that because you don't want to go up to somebody and say, you want to get saved. You know, you got to be a little enthusiastic, you know? I mean, you got to grab their attention. So a good verse for me that encourages me is James 5:20. And this is the serious part about it, you know, because you can have a fun doing it, but it is very serious because that person could end up going to hell. And our job is to see if we can make that not happen. So what a great verse for me is, James 5:20, it says, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall have a soul from death, save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Yes. And boy, I need that. I got a lot of sin. So if anybody was thinking about doing it next year, I would greatly encourage you to go out and try it. And believe me, you will just will not regret it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. That was a great testimony. A couple things that jumped out at me. Just trying to engage with people. Because, you know, a lot of people, they look over and I notice they saw maybe Cornerstone Baptist Church or Test Your Bible Knowledge, and it's like it was like there was a force field and they went further away. And they wanted absolutely no eye contact. And you're like, can I give you something? And all of a sudden they're deaf, you know? And so there's just some people that you were just not going to reach. But, you know, that that trying to connect, making a comment, hey, I like your hat, as Brother Tony said. You know, the Lord Jesus was great at initiating conversation and even bringing out some things that, an eye-catching statement. You know, the woman at the well, he says, you know, he saith to the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou being, or I mean, then saith the woman, she said this, how is it thou being a Jew askest drink of me? The Lord asked her to draw a drink of water for him. And he said, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So, first of all, he asked her to, you know, give me to drink, which just started this conversation, which never would have happened between a Jew and a Samaritan. So he throws that initial, would you please give me a drink? Give me a drink. And then he talked about, if you knew who you were speaking to, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And she was taken by that. And it just created, the thoughts in her head were bouncing around, and it just created conversation. And ultimately, she came to trust the Lord Jesus as her Savior. It's the same thing he did with the man at the pool of Bethesda. He walks up to him, and the man saw this man who was lying there and wanting to be healed, and he knew that he had been there a long time, and he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole? And the man thought, and it just started the man to thinking. And so we look for opportunities, and we ask the Lord for wisdom for that opportunity, maybe to engage conversation and talk about the most common of things, whether it's the weather, the shoes you're wearing, the hat you've got on your head. And it just creates some opportunities. And I saw that a lot. And, that was something that Brother Tony brought out. And so that's so important that we can just engage with people. And then it begins to open up the doors. You know, it's the icebreaker that begins to create some conversation. And we can begin to, hopefully, shortly down the road, be able to talk to the Lord, to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Thank you, Brother Tony. I've also asked Brother Patrick Billman. Brother Patrick appreciated him and his zeal and how the Lord used him and all the rest, but I really appreciate Brother Patrick, and I just appreciate his zeal, and so I asked him as well. So brother, why don't you come on up and tell us about some of the things maybe you saw and heard and what God did in your heart.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother.
What a pleasure.
Amen.
What an honor.
It's a pleasure having you up here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll sit over here.
Give me 10 seconds to get used to being here. You know, the purpose of the church is to glorify God. What a loving church this is. Wonderful people. We got a great pastor. And that fair booth just shows the love of the saints to go out there and serve the Lord when it's hot. Complete strangers, out of our comfort zone, not knowing what to expect. What a blessing that was. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What a good example Brother Tony was. And Brother John and Wayne. I'm going to say this. The pastor says something like 26 to 29 souls got saved. But when we got the booth set up, when we had the tracks laid out on the tables, and we got that little board out, and we got everything ready, the first thing Tony says is, hey, brothers, come here. Let's have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
We prayed that the Lord would break the doors. He'd give us the right words to say, a servant's heart. We prayed for example. That's the first thing before we even approached anybody. So the Lord was working mightily. And I'm sure you've all heard of the Great Awakening. This was a mini awakening. Almost last Friday, I think it was last Friday, almost everybody that John and I handed a tract to, they wanted to get saved. It was amazing. I mean, it was flat amazing. And after about an hour, I'd say probably 9 or 10 souls got saved. I said to John, I said, hey, mark this down. What time do you think this all started? Because somebody was praying. I believe somebody was praying at that time. Because it was just, thank you for the track. You guys are doing a good job. Nice to see you. Thank you very much. I go to church. I have a church. I'm saved. I'm Mormon. I'm whatever, you know. But then it was like, yeah, I'm a sinner. You know, that's, yeah. You show them the Bible. And it just skyrocketed. I had a young man, probably 16 years old. He wanted to get saved, but his mother saw him. His mother says, get away from there. I'm going to call him Billy. Billy, come here. Get away from there. I didn't argue. I said, Billy, mind your mother. He came back in about 20 minutes without his mother. He sat down. And the first thing I always said after I showed him some messages in the Bible, you know, you're a sinner, you need saved, for the wages of sin is death. And he's got that track. Whenever I opened up my Bible, I opened it up in front of them so they can see the words. Right. And I read along with them and would point out. And I could always tell that they were interested because when I shut up, they kept reading. What else did it have to say? So I knew God is working in their hearts. And what did I hear? Billy, come here. What did I tell you? Get out of there. Get out of there right now. So I said, Billy, you got the track? You know, I'm quiet, you know. Before you go to bed tonight, just read it. If you have any questions, call that number on the back. Our pastor will be glad to help you. But, yeah, just read that track. It's between you and the Lord, man. It's between you and the Lord.
Right.
So we did. So anyhow... What a blessing it was for me. It was hot, you know. Even under the tent in the shade, it was that hot, radiant heat, you know. But I was blessed to have good workers, fellow co-workers, fellow warriors. They were all good. They really helped out a lot. But the Lord put on my heart in these dangerous times. I believe only one adult was saved. Don't mark my word on that, but I believe John led a guy to the Lord that brought his son up to test his knowledge, his Bible knowledge, and I believe that guy got saved. But most of them were like high school age kids, okay? I remember a group of three simultaneously, and one of them was trying to trip me up. Always had a question. Well, what about all them people that don't hear the gospel message? What's going to happen to them? Are they going to burn? I just, well, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about nature. God revealed himself in nature, and they are without excuse. Anyhow, he quit trying to trip me up. He got saved, three of them simultaneously. They left. 3 hours later, I'm handing the track. He goes, don't you remember me? And I'm looking at him. I go, yeah, I do. He's with a couple girls. One of them was his girlfriend. She wants to get saved, and he grabbed her. Now, you listen to him. You listen to him. You listen to him. He wouldn't shut up. So we go in there to sit down. You listen to him, Betty. You're what, you know, you listen to him. And led her to the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yes. But I felt it was important to let them know that what they just did shook heaven. You've repented. You is between you and the Lord. I didn't say a prayer and have them repeat it. I told them how I prayed. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm hell-bound. You died on that cross, Jesus. I need you as my Savior. You're my only. That's between you and the Lord. So when you're done, I'd like to show you a couple of scriptures. So... when they got done, I let them know just how important being saved is to God. And it says here in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy that repenteth. And they looked at me and they go, really? I said, yeah, that's pretty important. You shook heaven. The angels were rejoicing. But I says, do not get discouraged, because the old devil is going to do whatever he can, put doubt in your mind that you're not saved. I says, you just turn to Romans chapter 10, and you just read that every time. And I says, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to be saved forever and ever and all eternity. And I said, Jesus says in John chapter 14, and I'd like to read this to you. I said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You're sealed forever and ever. Right. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot lie.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, I said there's three things God cannot do. He cannot lie. He will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he cannot allow an unrepentant sinner into heaven. You can go into heaven. And then I'd show him where your name's in the book of life in Revelation chapter 20, Great White Throne Judgment. But here's the trouble. You'd be surprised how many people say, well, I go to church. I'm good. I was baptized when I was... Yes, that's that chapter. It has a straight and narrow gate in it. Oh, yeah, I've read it. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, will I not cast out demons in thy name? And I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now notice that word, I never, he don't know you. You don't know him. You have a problem if you were to die tonight. So, and just because they go to church, they thought they were doing good. But God's words is different. At night when I, but I don't know how many tracts were passed out in the day. The opportunity to serve such a mighty God, represent Cornerstone Baptist Church, and all them lost people that refused the tract. The ones that said, I'm an atheist. And I just couldn't go to sleep right away. Lifeline, you're drowning or something, you know? But I learned, and I'd do it again next year. And I just give God the glory out of the devil's hands. They're going to heaven, you know. And then the seed was planted. Come see us. But I'm not going to pull you away from your church. But souls got saved. See, as little effort as it was mighty. And I just want to thank once again. I love each and every one of you very. I appreciate you letting me represent you. And to do that mighty work, so.
Brother Gary's going to come in just a moment. But how about we sing another hymn before? So I'll have Laura coming up, but listen, and we'll have another hymn, and we'll sing, and then Brother the Lord, I appreciate the fact that you brought up something that's so important that needs to be really. And part of everything that we do, and that is before we do anything, we need to bathe it in prayer, sing to the Lord. And, you know, Brother Tony brought that up, and, hey, guys, just gather around. We need to give this thing to the Lord. Ask for God's direction. Ask for God's blessing. We do that before we start church on Sunday mornings. We have that gathering back there in the choir room, and we do that because we want God's hand to be upon it. But then again, we also see that, you know, when the Lord chooses just to hear, move, he does it on his time, and for that particular amount of time, for a number of those people to get saved and to God to be working in their hearts, that was certainly a work of the Spirit of God, working in their hearts and bringing them under conviction, and then to see them get saved. That's a great testimony. How exciting that is! And I am grateful that brother, for that testimony. I know the Lord used you. I know you have a heart to want to see people get saved, and He blessed you. And so praise the Lord for that. All right, before Brother Gary comes up and gives his testimony, we'll go ahead and sing another hymn. Okay, brother.
Sir. Let's sing Victory in Jesus, because let me tell you, that fair booth, we definitely saw some victory, amen? So let's go ahead and stand. We'll turn to 812. Let's sing.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning. of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. On the last, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. All right, what a wonderful victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful I am for Brother Gary Fussell, and of course for Jeannie as well. But just in speaking about him, I appreciate his willingness to serve the Lord in whatever capacity. So many times he says, Pastor, what can I do to help you? And he is just, God's given him that gift of helps. When this thing came up, he said, Pastor, can I help you? I don't want to get in your way, but can I help you? I said, oh, yes. And boy, helping me set things up, helping me organize. He does a wonderful job with the men's prayer group, but as far as just helping me that way, and so many of you did, okay, by the way, but he just wanted to just get up alongside and do whatever he could, and I really appreciate him for that, because I knew there was a lot involved. And as you can see, or even imagine, there was just a lot of things to try to work through and figure out, and what we need in the booth, and so I really appreciate loss. And I appreciate his love for his brothers and sisters in Christ, but also his love for loss. Thank you so much for everything. You're right.
Sure, good to see what happened at the fair. To see everybody come together and work as a group, as a team.
Yes. Yeah.
And but before I do that, I do want to share something with you, a prayer that I had about all this. And it seems like it happens once a year for me, is I have a lung condition. And I get this lung problems, and I'm usually sick for 3 to 5 weeks, and it happens every year, and the time amount is always in that. And about 2 weeks before the fair booth, Pastor had already asked me to help him with this. And, you know, I have to go to Colossians 3:23 a lot, folks. And it says, and whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man. I'm constantly telling myself that verse, because when we moved over here, I told the Lord at that time that, Lord, I don't want to tell you no anymore. I've done it too much, and I just don't want to do it anymore. And I want to tell you something. The Lord has put me to the task on that. He has, and so far I haven't told him no. And I hope I never do. And when Pastor asked me that, to help him on this, the first thing that popped into my mind was, no. And then this verse popped into my mind. It was God prompting me. And, you know, I said, yes, I'll help you. I'll do whatever I need to do. And, you know, God, He just took a hold of me. I mean, that all happened in an instant, folks, you know. And so I'm trying to follow what God's telling me to do in this. So anyway, getting back to this lung problem that I have, I'm usually sick for quite a while with this. Well, 2 weeks before the fair booth, I got this sickness that I have every year. So I saw, you know, I'm going, in my mind, I'm going through the scenarios. What am I going to do, Lord? You know, I've already obligated myself to help pastor with this. And I know in my mind how long it takes me. And I have, my doctor keeps me in medication. And when I have this sickness, I start it. But it usually takes 3 to 5 weeks for me to get over it. And it's 2 weeks off, you know. So I told the Lord, I mean, I worried about it for several days. I know Brother Wayne brought a message on worrying one time, and I'm not good at it, brother. But, you know, God finally got a hold of me, and he says, you look to me, and I'll help you. Yeah. Well, he did. This sickness that I have that lasts this time amount of time lasted 1 week, and that's never happened. You know, so I had to give God the praise for it. Yep. He got me through it. The first day of the fair was terrible. The smoke was, if you were there, you know, I was the only one in the fair booth in the whole fair that had a mask on. So I felt like the spotlight was on me. You know, and I was trying to breathe through that mask. I was out of breath because trying to breathe through that mask and talk to it wasn't easy. But you know something? God got me through it, you know, and I give him the praise for it. And then, you know, as time went on, it got better, and things just got better with our fair booth. So I got to give God the praise for that answered prayer for me. And then the next thing I want to do is, folks, a lot of people that was there, I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of the guys. And I don't want to say any names, because if I do, I'll leave somebody out. Stand up. But I'm going to ask this right now. Everybody that worked in the fair booth, would you please stand up? Yeah, that's good. If you was a part of the fair booth, I want you to rise. Okay. Folks, these people need a hand. You know, It took, okay, you can sit down now. It took a team, folks, to bring this off. Right. You know, not no one individual, not no two individuals, not three or four. It took all of us. Right. And I'm so thankful for that. Right. And we don't need to praise one another. We need to praise him. Right. He gets all the glory. We went out and done what we were supposed to do. As a Christian, we're to go out, we're to tell people about the Lord, and that's what we did. So with that, God gets all the glory. We got so close with somebody, you know. I can say that too, you know. I got so close with this one kid, I could see tears in his eyes, but his buddy that was with him, he's pulling him off, you know. So you give them the track, say, read that track, have an open heart about it, and if you think you're ready for it, you can do it with that track. So, you know, that right there, all those tracks, folks, they went out, and we seen one today, one couple here today. I looked at their card that they filled out, and they were, you know why they were here? They got a track at the fair. So, you know, if only one person would have got saved, it would have been worth it. But we were blessed by God, and there was, it was a lot of them, you know, 20-something of them. And that's God. That's all God. He gets the praise for it, not us, him and him alone. So thank you for all those ones that worked. And like I said, I didn't want to bring up one person or two because, you know, then the others, you don't want to upset nobody. You don't want to offend nobody because it took us all, folks. Amen. And I so appreciate that, and thank you so much. So.
Tracks
Yeah.
But walking in that fair, even close to the booth, I never saw one track on the ground. And I never saw one track in the parking. True. So I think they were actually putting them in their boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I had noticed that one day. I said, I'm not seeing tracks on the ground, because a lot of people will walk away and just throw them or throw them in the trash. And I didn't go look in the trash cans, but obviously you did. But that was a compliment, okay? I'm so glad that, thank you for bringing that up, because I didn't see that. That means, yes, a lot of people... sometimes you say, you know, what did Art Linkletter say about kids? They say the darndest things or something. But what a blessing, again, just to hear that testimony that this was it's a team. And it's a team of people working together, but who gets the ultimate glory? It all goes to the Lord. Amen. And it all belongs to Him. And we all work together. I saw people just, you know, working together, you know, as brothers and sisters that love the Lord. And I just saw nothing but, you know, harmony and working in one accord. It was just a real blessing. And so thank you. It was a blessing working with so many of you. It's a blessing working with you and other things as well. But to see what the Lord did, you know, Brother Dave and some others, Brother Dave Horner, some others talking about what God did in their hearts through all of this. It took you up another couple of notches in your spiritual walk. And it's just good to be able to have that opportunity to interact with people and have that opportunity to give out tracts and to tell people about the Lord. So continue to be praying about what God has done. What a great 10 days that was. It was tiring, but it was worth it. Anything that's worth it, usually there's an investment. There's an investment of time. There's an investment of energy. But God blesses that. Amen? And so we look forward to next year. I would love to get that same spot. I like that spot where we were. And again, thank you for those testimonies. I could have heard more testimonies, but we only had so much time. And so what we're going to do is, if you guys don't mind, we'll sing Victory in Jesus. Why don't we sing that again? It's just a great. And just go ahead. We'll close up on that. And then what we'll do is, when that's over, we'll have a word of prayer for what we're going to be, receiving outside tonight with the fellowship. So, brother, go ahead and lead us in that.
Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and stand. And you were sounding a little softer earlier, so let's just hear it. Let me hear you this tonight. Here we go. On the first.
I've heard an old.